This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today's a very special episode. We are welcoming back Philip Ailes, who is the founder and president of Ailes Solutions. And I'm proud to say and to announce is the latest author in our recently released Business Leaders book. And it's a best-selling series. And first off, I just want to say, hey, Philip, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate all that you've done and that you do. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, so I'm excited to dig into your content today. So your content, or the title of your chapter in the book, My Road to Humanity, and you talked about becoming a mindful leader, renewed energy, renewed purpose. We're going to get into Ailes Solutions as well. But before we do all of that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Philip, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Philip, what mission matters to you?
Well, right now, my mission matters is finding your humanity, getting back to who you are and how you understand the world around you with no excuses, the world doesn't care about you unless you make them care and show them what you bring to the world. And a lot of it has to do with just finding yourself. And then from there, it's limitless.
Well, great having you back on the show. And I don't want to assume that all our new listeners and viewers maybe caught some of our previous work. So maybe let's just start with your background and, you know, how you got on this path to helping people with becoming a mindful leader. Like, where did it all start for you?
Well, it started with me after my daughter graduated from high school in August or May of 2015. Hmm. I'd lost my house, lost everything, and I ended up buying a Class A RV because I always thought about it and always talked about it. And I had no other reason not to, because because I knew more about other countries than I did my own.
Yeah.
And with that, I realized that, hey, it'll give me an opportunity to be alone and figure out what I really want out of life. Mm-hmm. I sat in my RV in a Indian casino parking lot in Oregon because I had no clue how to drive it, turn anything on, or anything. I had to spend 2 days to figure it out. And I told myself, you know what? At least it doesn't get any worse than this.
Wow.
And honestly, for a single guy, it wasn't bad. I mean, because I had to learn to rely on myself for everything.
Yeah.
And with that, I drove cross country and ended up coming to Jacksonville, Florida. Hmm. And I met my wife, and I'd been talking to my daughter about my new perspectives and trying to change who I was, because I realized through multiple deployments and everything, I lost my humanity for Americans. Mm. I had it for other countries, and I always held Americans to a higher standard.
And maybe just for a second or two to kind of set the table here, tell us a little bit more about before the RV, just so people understand your military history, things like that, so they know what they mean. You mean when they say, you know, for Americans.
Okay. Well, I was military police. Mm-hmm. I was able to have some phenomenal deployments. Yeah. I spent a year in Korea, spent time in Germany, the Pentagon, Ground Zero. I sat in Saddam's chair in Iraq, and I looked at it, and I've done it both military in Iraq. I did a year training the Iraqi police in Baghdad. And then I went back as a contractor, set up regional training centers for the Iraqi military, and I had to interact with our military, their military, the locals, everybody in their government, and how they were going to set this up and distribute the equipment and every and training and everything that we established for them.
Yeah. And that's helpful, because I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood what you were talking about when you said for Americans. So you, I mean, you dedicated a big portion of your life to, you know, to the service. So, okay. Circling back to your story about, you know, where we're at in the RV, let's say, journey and portion of your life. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I realized I had to take responsibility for myself, period. I had to, in with the help of my daughters, because they only knew me on the civilian side. They never interacted with me in the military. And coming home, and I didn't realize that I gave up my youth for my country. And now it's about finding my balance, because once you get out of the military, there's nothing to re-indoctrinate you back into being a regular civilian.
Yeah.
And one of the pains that we've seen is boredom, because we're so used to chaos and being able to thrive in the most inhospitable places. And then, but yet that's what excites us professionally. But when we look back and come back to the regular world, we don't understand what's going on. They don't understand us. And it comes to a point where somebody's got to go, you know what? I'll take responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's me and who I am and what I bring to the table, because it doesn't matter anything you did yesterday, because it doesn't exist. And all we have is right now, and we're doing this. And thankfully, we can record things like this that others can see later on.
Yeah.
But what I found out by interacting with a lot of warriors and military from all over the country, because I stayed at military bases because they were cheaper. And so I interacted with veterans all the time, service members, they're active duty. It doesn't matter. A lot of the complaint is, I don't understand the civilian world. Because they feel like they can't get anything done. Well, it's because when you go back into civilian world, you don't have that structure that you're used to. And a lot of the civilians will tell you, man, it's a cutthroat world out there.
Yeah.
And now you're competing with the 99% of the population that never served. And they understand themselves or their world a lot better than yours. And they believe stereotypes.
Yeah. And what, so when, in this part of your journey, when did this, when were you introduced? If you remember, I don't know if it was like just this moment or it was a book or something else. Like, when did this concept of mindfulness kind of enter your vocabulary? And did you fit and you figured out like, oh, like this is where I, the direction I should be heading?
Well, that all started with an ex-girlfriend. I found out she would push my triggers intentionally to gain a certain response. And when she let me know about that, because before no one ever said anything and I got manipulated by whomever. But now I understood that, oh, they do it on purpose. So I can take control of that. And instead of taking everything personally, I look at it and go, well, it's just your opinion.
Yeah. And that's significant, by the way, for people listening, because there's many relationships that can be like that, you know, just in general. It could be coworkers, it could be in the workplace, a lot of different things. So letting people, you know, taking back control, that's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's for me, the mindfulness and self-awareness and the emotional intelligence all working together to give you the better understanding of the world around you, because a lot of times our ego and our pride put on these filters that skew what's really going on. Because honestly, a situation's a situation. There's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And what are you going to do when everybody thinks they're right?
Right.
And part of that is knowing that I learned as a facilitator in Iraq that I didn't care about the outcome because it was about getting something done. And I was sitting with all the decision makers that were wanting something to happen. So we'd make sure that that concept actually took form in reality. And I spent more time with the Iraqis than I did the US military. And so I got to hear their stories. There's no difference between us and them other than geographic location or our cultures and stuff like that. But we're human. We all are in this planet together. And that's when I realized, wait a minute. Ah, it's my thoughts, my beliefs, my everything that's driving me. And who am I to judge anybody else? And vice versa. They're always going to has the right to judge me, but God. And what you bring into this world is the positive side, because I've seen the horrors of humanity and how we can, how we treat each other and everything like that. And I realized here in Jacksonville, because I wasn't getting any of the contacts or anything that I felt I wanted, you know what? Screw it. I'll just be the good I want to see in the world.
Wow.
And I have kept that philosophy for the last 6 years. I had to actually remember exactly. Yeah, it's been 6 years. and I think blows my mind.
time flies sometimes with this stuff. I mean, just being an entrepreneur, being out there, and we'll definitely get into AIL Solutions and how you're helping your clients. But before we do, I do want to pull one kind of component out of the book. So again, and for everybody watching, you pick up a copy, like, great book. Just so you know, we're going to pick out some of this, but we're not going to give you everything because we do sell books. So we want you to go grab a copy, of course. The link will be in the show notes. But that being said, so one of the things you wrote about, renewed energy, renewed purpose. What was the inspiration for that?
Actually, that came out of COVID. Because one of the hardest things to do, the concept came up right as COVID was happening. And most of the people expected 6 months. Well, 2.5 years later, you like with me, the psychological end of it, to where I was such a performer and I just got things done, and not having that ability because nobody's interacting was detrimental. It kind of put me into depression. And because, I mean, literally, I couldn't do anything for the first time in my life that I was forced to be separated. And that was very disheartening when you're just pushing out and everything, they go, okay, quit. Well, you know, I looked at it. That was a way for me to even delve further into self-awareness and understand that, hey, this is way beyond our control, and have a little grace for myself and understand that it was the circumstances at that time. And it's changing now, and we're trying to get back, but it's not at the same level or same urgency as it had been before. Because now, I mean, I'm retired from the military. I have a disability. I can live on what I make, but there's no fulfillment. And part of that was, you know what? I could use this and help others.
Yeah.
Figure it out, because a lot of people make excuses. And to me, it's okay. Yeah. Well, how does that still fix the problem? And I chose to put together something a little bit more less in depth, as me redoing all the research and all the books. And there's so much material out there.
Oh, for sure.
And being able to break it down to where it's easily managed, and you realize that the seed all comes from you. We are the seed of our own lives, and the nutrients and thoughts and behaviors and everything that go into making you who you are, and how your actions. And I never realized I was mindlessly going through life. I was surviving. I'd never look back, because I past didn't matter. It's what I was doing now and where I was going. Well, you don't realize that you create this wake behind you as you're pushing through to hit your stride. And so what I did is I looked at it, took accountability for it, and said, this is the way we move forward. And every day now is a testament of, let's see what we can do in these 24 hours.
I love it. And I look at, and I think that's a great transition, actually. So you've been on your own journey, and now that you found some things that you know have worked for you, you've chosen to, I like to say, you've been blessed. Now you want to be a blessing, right? That's a simple way to put it. So now you're helping others. You're helping, business leaders. You're helping, individuals transitioning out of the military. I mean, you're helping a lot of different people. So tell us about AIL Solution and how you're coaching veterans and other executives.
Okay. Well, basically, AIL Solutions came out of the pandemic. I sat in I waited as long as I could. January 2022, I went and actually made it official and got my business license and started working on what I needed to do for the next step, and to let everybody else know that, or what I have to offer and what I can bring them inner peace and joy and love by exuding love myself. Because too many times I spent in survival mode, just doing whatever thing I could to get through the day. And with the military, it was structured, so I didn't have to think. I had to take action. And part of that was asking for help. I got help from Wounded Warrior Project. And another organization called Operation Reformer. They're both based out of here in Jacksonville. That basically the Operation Uniform let me understand what my value is in the civilian side. Because a lot of the times I couldn't translate. They had people ask me what I did, and I looked at them and I was like, I can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
That's not a good answer.
That's not. You gotta pick that niche.
And that was the hardest part, is because how do I narrow this down to just one thing when the military taught you to improvise, adapt, and overcome every situation? And if you don't know it, learn it. And that's kind of my approach I took with the emotional intelligence when I first read Daniel Goldman's book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And in his book, he was just talking, nothing he said was brand new. Something, right. Nothing was enlightening. What he did was take the Buddhism religion and their philosophies and brought it to the emotional side of it. Because the thing about it is, not until 1996 that emotional intelligence wasn't even thought of. Everybody went to just the intelligence side of it.
Yeah. Well, it was EQ or IQ versus EQ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the language back then.
No. But all this information has been out there for thousands of years, and it's about you. Mm-hmm. And finding, you know, stop griping about other people. Don't worry about other people. They're not in your control. Yeah, if you don't love yourself more than everybody else, you lose. Because you're not living up to your full potential of your capabilities and what really desires that you have for living your happiest life. And I think that's a goal that everybody should look towards, is knowing how they really fit in and having grace for themselves. Because I think we're our own worst enemies, or critics, not enemies, critics. But with that, of getting, and I could see this being applicable to even teenagers in high school. And when you get them at junior high to where they realize, you know what, the next 4 years are just 4 years in your life. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do once you're done? Because that, from 18 and on, if you can go into it and you can control your emotions and the way you feel about things, and having that, I consider it like that James Bond reaction.
Yeah.
Cool, collective in any situation. And then you can release that energy in a more productive way at another time.
Hmm.
And not everything is life or death. And that mentality that I had for most of my life was life and death, survival. Yeah. And I refused to run. So let's just say I ticked a lot of people off. But you know what? My heart was always pure.
Yeah.
And I told the truth.
Mm.
And the people that had the worst, the hardest time with it, were the ones that were crookeder than heck.
Mm.
That were going against every principle that the United States military had. Mm. And I would dime them out at my own detriment. And I realized when you fight every single battle, people stop listening.
Yeah.
And I needed to control myself and what I was doing, because the eureka moment was, huh. And people did try to tell me, but I wasn't. I thought I knew better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I looked at it and I was like, oh, man, if I can get anybody else from the military or the civilian law enforcement, the first responders, even public service in itself, when we transition over to a civilian business or become an entrepreneur, you have to know why you're there and your purpose, direction, and your motivation to go through something.
Yeah.
And that's what I thrive for in with each of my clients. It's not about me. I know me. It's about, now let's get you to know you and what you really love in this world and what inspires you to do your best. And you know what? You only have one life. Let's see what we can make out of it.
Yeah.
And I have no regrets. I've been to I saw what it was like, and then you come back here and you realize our cities are not even getting it right.
Hmm.
And so I met the mayor of Jacksonville, the new one, Donna Dean. She's the first female mayor. And I looked at him and told him that they have all the capabilities in the world.
Hmm.
I said, there's so much potential here. And it's getting everybody to come together and realize I don't have to like you, but you know what? It's love being in Jacksonville. Make it the best place to live on the planet, not the United States, because I don't know. I got this overwhelming feeling to bring everybody together and facilitate a better life for ourselves and our children. And there's no reason why all the youth want to leave, because there's nothing here for them.
I completely agree with that. I get what you mean too. Like there's a lot of room. There's a lot of opportunity for growth. Yes. In our cities, I mean, in our, and just even as leaders. So thinking about how we're, you know, mindfulness and what that entails and what that looks like in our lives. That being said, I know we just kind of scratched the surface on your material and your coaching and what you do, and we're going to be doing a whole lot more. We're just starting all this book promo, as I mentioned before. But that being said, if somebody wants to continue the conversation with you, and if they want, because again, we just scratched the surface today, and they want to connect with you and also talk about what you're doing over at Ale Solution, like what's the best way for people to reach out?
Well, you can get a hold of me on my website at alesolutions.com. Yeah. And or you can contact me at 904-469-6883.
Yeah.
Or you can get my email address off of LinkedIn or Facebook. Yeah. I'm on all those platforms.
That's awesome. So so we'll put all of that into the show notes, of course, so that our audience can you know, just head into the show notes and click on the links and go to your website. But that being said, I mean, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for Ale Solutions?
Well, you know what? A lot of it has to do with me taking advantage of opportunities like this.
Mm.
Is getting the word out, and because no one's going to use my services if they don't know who I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's the way it works for all of us. For the entrepreneurs out there, there's so much in what Philip just said. Like, hey, if they don't know you, how can they connect? So love that, Philip. And we're happy to get your word out to our audience and to further spread your message and your work, not just through our books, but also through the content like this and putting out these interviews. So, I mean, honestly, awesome having you back on the show. And speaking of the audience, by the way, so for anybody that's listening or watching, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, like what gets them fired up to go out into the marketplace and into the world and make a difference each and every day. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Philip, man, really appreciate you coming back on the show. It's always a pleasure working with you, as always. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. And I see the value in this, and I plan on utilizing it the best of my ability.